revelation of God in both Old and New Testament brings to our mind that the God with whom we deal is a pattern-minded God. We ended this morning's lesson with the case of Solomon and his father David. And the fact that building the temple, the Almighty God gave a pattern for the temple. You would think that as beautiful as the temple of Solomon was, something so commonplace as a nice building, God would have left that up to man's mind and intelligence. But it wasn't so. The Bible made it plain that with his own hands, God wrote the pattern. Now, what we want to look on tonight is another example that God is, in fact, a pattern-minded God. And we will even go a little further in my saying, and you will be seeing, that God guide his pattern and is very jealous and wrathful when his pattern is interfered with. The case in hand is about King Ahaz. What this passage shows, it shows the indignation of the Almighty God, the vexation of the Almighty God, the wrath of the Almighty God when his pattern is not followed. Let us run to the passage of 2 Kings chapter 16. To supplement that passage, you will be called upon to also look, that is, for a supplement to the discussion about Ahaz in the book of Kings. As those of you who have studied the Bible realize, a lot of things that are found in 2 Kings are also found in the book of 2 Chronicles. It's the sort of the same history of Israel is found in both books. But this time we want 2 Kings chapter 16 verse 2 and 3. Let us get a little background on King Ahaz of Israel.
2 Kings 16:2. 20 years was Ahaz when he began to reign.
20 years was Ahaz
when he began to
reign.
And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem.
And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, mindful that he was almost a child, just a young fellow, just gaining experience when he began to reign. And he reigned for 16 years in Jerusalem. That's verse 2 and 3?
No, verse 2.
Read on.
And did not which was right in the sight of the Lord his
he
God.
He did not do that which was right. You see, what you have, and this, you have this many places. in the book of Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, where in one verse or two verses, a nutshell of a leader's reign, successful or unsuccessful, in keeping with the will of God or contrary to the will of God. A lot of time, just a one verse give you a nutshell. That's what you have here in verse 2 and 3 of 2 Kings in respect to King Ahaz. Let us hear verse 2-3 again.
I'm still on verse 2. Mm-hmm. In the sight of the Lord is God, like David his father. Verse 3.
Wait. That's the little part I really wanted. He did not do that which was right in the sight of God, like as his father David. Mark you, David was not his biological father. But like David, he was from the tribe of Judah. And what you have here is that David, God used David a lot in the book of Kings and Chronicles as an example. Okay? Now,
Verse 3. But he walked in the way of the king of Israel. Yea.
Wait. Just a minute. May I? In fact, thinking about it might be an interesting study. Probably in a lesson. That of the how many kings of Israel, after the division of the people of Israel under Rehoboam, I think, of the many kings, you may have one or two which did that which was right. We are not talking about six or seven kings. Many kings. They all took up idolatry. So when you read that, that would sound as if the man did well because the king of Israel are God's people. No, they didn't do well. Read that again, D.
But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel.
Which means they practice, they build idol and worship idol.
Yea, and made his son to pass through the fire.
All of that, you know, is idolatry. Read on.
According to the abomination of the heathen.
According to the abomination of the heathen. May I? This sound isolated. What this have to do with us? We are the Church of Christ. We are in modern time. Brothers and sisters, you and I do not know 10 years from now, 20 years from now, what might be preached from this very pulpit. God forbid. From this very pulpit. We don't know what digression will take place. One of the letters, the one from Germany, I would like to know if it's right to continue with the Church of Christ, move away from the teaching of the Bible. That's the one that Brother Dean print today that I say I'll answer. Example, the wife of one member take part in worship service during the Lord's Supper. And there are some other things. And this person from Germany is asking, you know, the Church of Christ in Germany, I share this with you many times. It has a wonderful history that I sort of feel close to. The person under whose guidance I learned personal evangelism, how to do one-by-one teaching, was Otis Gatewood, who was at that time the president of Michigan Christian College that I was attending. And as I've explained to you, while World War II was going on, he had enough vision to start getting, to start accumulating things. Because when it's found out that the Allies would in fact win the war, Otis Gatewood was making plans to get the Church of Christ planted there when the smoke from the war was still coming up. And that's what he did. Great. Yes, so when we read about Ahaz and the practice of idolatry, we feel that, well, that is far. That is thousands of years ago. That has nothing to do with us. It does have something to do with us. Because we are to take warning. We are to be on our P's and our Q's in making sure that when we study the gospel, we must make sure that we have faith in the gospel. We have confidence in the direction that God gives us in the gospel. And we must also make sure that our conviction binds us to living by the gospel. Not something that we like or that somebody may introduce. We like novelty. That's when the Bible speaks about itching ears. It's coming from God. We like new things. We are excited about new things. We must watch for that. Okay, you read verse 2 and 3. Let us hear verse 9 through verse 14.
And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew the Rezin.
Mm-hmm.
And the king of Azad went to Damascus to meet Tilapaisla, king of...
Okay, that is the king of Israel. That is King Ahaz. Mm-hmm. What he was doing, the king of Syria was powerful. And he was farming, watch here. All this has lesson for us. He felt that to secure himself in his throne, he should form alliance with the king of Syria, a Gentile king. But Brother Mitchell, it's not a wonderful thing. No. Because what you are saying here, what Ahaz is doing here is something similar that Christians do. Things not going well with you, you are sick. You go to one, two, or three doctors and your complaint is still there. So you find an obia man or an obia woman. What King Ahaz should do is look to God for guidance and protection instead of forming alliance with the Gentile king. So things like this, we are to learn from it. Read it.
And King Ahaz sent Urijah, the priest, the fashion of the altar.
Wait. We missed something there. What verse is that?
Verse 10.
Let me hear verse 9 again.
And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, as the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it,
mm-hmm,
and carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew Rezin.
Mm-hmm.
And the king Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tilapaisla, king of Assyria, and saw the altar
I did miss it. You had read that.
Yeah.
An altar.
That was at Damascus.
Take time, dear brother. Saw an altar. No. What's an altar, Brother Mitchell? That's the, usually made up of stone, call it a fire pit. That's right. That's where the sacrifice to God was burned on. But watch here. The one that he saw in Damascus was a Gentile altar. It had nothing to do with God's altar. The tabernacle that we spoke about this morning had the altar at the entrance when it was first given. And at the entrance, that's where the sacrificial lamb was first offered, and then the blood and other part was taken inside the tabernacle, pointing out that Jesus Christ would be crucified outside of the tabernacle, which is the church. That's right. All of that, but we're not going in that detail now. So the tabernacle you and I are reading of here in the book of 2 Kings, verse 10, 11, is a Gentile altar. Has nothing to do with God's altar. The altar that Ahaz was impressed by was the altar on which idol worshipping took place. Watch here. King Ahaz had no right to be impressed by the Gentile altar when the Almighty God had given Israel one. And given Israel one that was according to God's pattern. The man went to Assyria, to Damascus, which was the capital of Syria, to form alliance with the Gentile, with the heathen king, instead of forming alliance and looking to God for guidance and protection for Israel. And when he went, he saw an altar. He was so impressed. We must watch it. That you know, you go to a man-made church, a denomination, and there are a lot of things you will see that look nice. And probably, in fact, they are nice from the human perspective. But our problem is a lot of time we wish that was being done in the Church of Christ. We wish it was so in the Church of Christ. My God, Jesus Christ has already given to us what he wants in his church. So when we go to the man-made church, unless you see something that is in fact scriptural, then that is different. We have to be careful. In fact, the lesson that I had in mind for tonight, it was because I didn't complete this lesson this morning, I come back to this point. But the lesson I had in mind is a lesson dealing with us starting the year learning not to be gullible people. That's the lesson, very important lesson. That as we go through life, at whatever your age is, be it your upper age or lower age, it's good to learn to be a person of conviction. And not a person that you're easily swept off your feet by whatever you hear. That's the lesson. But back to the point. We are to be people of conviction. We cannot easily adapt and would like to have everything we, You may attend a funeral at a man-made church or whatever. And they do certain things that you like. The important thing in spiritual and moral things, it's not whether you are or like it or not, it's whether God likes it or not. This man went to Damascus in Syria and saw an altar. My God! Some 400, 500 years before this, before the time of Ahaz, the Almighty God had given Israel an altar. And when the Almighty God told Moses to see to it that he make all things according to the pattern shown to him, that include God's altar. That was made according to the pattern that God showed. But you know what? Like many of us, Ahaz was not impressed with God's altar. He went to the heathen and saw an altar, and he couldn't wait to get back to Israel to have it made. He sent. Let us read, Dave. Read.
So Urijah, the priest, made it against King Ahaz, came from Damascus. Verse 12. And when the king was come on from Damascus, the king saw.
Wait. Here again, probably I talk too much, brother.
We're at verse 11.
Verse 11, I think.
Yeah. You want me to read verse 11 again?
Yes.
And Urijah, the priest, built an altar according to all the king Ahaz had sent from Damascus.
You get the point? That is, the king, didn't wait to return to his own country. He sent it by aeroplane. That is a copy of the heathen altar. Don't forget, you know, that there was God's altar made and have been used in Israel. But he saw a heathen altar. He was so impressed by it that he sent it back for the priest to have one made. Read, brother.
So Urijah, the priest, made it against King Ahaz, came from Damascus. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king approached the altar and offered it thereon.
You get the idea that he rushed to see if the altar was made according to the copy of the heathen altar that he sent to the priest. And he came and saw it, and he couldn't wait to offer sacrifice on it. Brothers and sisters, keep in mind, God did not accept that sacrifice. Mm-hmm. What verse are you, brother?
Verse 13. No.
Read.
And he burnt his burnt offering and his meat offering and poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offering upon the altar. And he brought also the brazen altar, which was before the Lord.
Listen this.
From the forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the altar.
You get this? The place that God's altar occupied, and that would be by God's instruction, he moved God's altar from the prominent place it was to occupy, no doubt, so as to give place for the idolatrous altar. Again, we must take warning from this. Let us now notice in the book of Chronicles God's indignation, God's vexation, God's wrath as it relates to King Ahaz. Let us hear 2 Chronicles 28, verse 19 through 23. Let us hear it.
2 Chronicles, verse 18.
2 Chronicles 28, I think that's the passage.
19.
And well, may I just drop here? You found it, Dave?
Yes.
May I just drop here? Brothers and sisters, things like sprinkling, confirmation are now competing with baptism. Huh? That's how these things came in Christianity. They were adopted. Things like sprinkling were adopted from heathen practices. Confirmation was also one of the things adopted from heathen practices. Just as we see King Ahaz went and saw something and he was so impressed by something that was contrary to the will of God. So we must take warning. Let us hear now. For the Second Chronicles. The brother is reading from chapter 28, verse 19. Still on Ahaz.
For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel.
Start again.
For the Lord brought Joab low because of Ahaz, king of Israel.
God brought Ahaz
low.
Low.
Because of Ahaz, king of Israel.
Uh-huh.
For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore
against
the Lord.
You see, all these are metaphor. He made Judah
sore against the Lord.
Naked.
Yeah, naked.
You see, that's describing the ungodliness to which he led Judah. Read.
And Tilgath-Pilster, king of Assyria, came upon him and distressed him, mm-hmm. but strengthened him not.
Mm-hmm.
For Asa took away portion out of the house of the Lord.
Wait. This is, you know, King Ahaz is now raping God's house. Wow. Built by Solomon. Went in on all the things of value and significance that was placed there to bring glory and honor to the Almighty God. The king of Israel that should be protective of these things, he was removing them so as to give way to idolatry. Read, brother.
For Ahaz took away a portion of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the king and of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria.
Everybody gets what going on?
Assyria.
Huh? It's like all the valuable thing in the Lord's church, me take it and give it to the Jehovah's Witness or the Roman Catholic. That's what's going on here. What are we talking about, Brother Mitchell? I'm still on the point that we are dealing with a pattern-minded God. And the passage under consideration here in 2 Chronicles is demonstrating and outlining God's vexation and wrath against this king for, among other things, for finding substitute for God's altar. Wait. There is never an appropriate substitute for anything that God gives. Never. Read on, brother.
But he helped him not.
He went to the king of Syria after raping the temple, taking everything from it, and carry it and give to the king of Syria. The king of Syria didn't help him. Read.
Verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
And in the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more against the Lord? This is that king he has.
Wait. Everybody get it? In the time of his distress, the very time when you need to look to God for help, he gets even more ungodly in idolatrous practice. Read, brother.
For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus.
You hear that? He sacrificed to the gods of Damascus.
And he said,
that's the Syrian god.
And he said, because the gods of the king of Syria helped him, therefore will I sacrifice to them.
Wait. You see, we can also reason incorrectly. How are we all, dear Christian? We sometimes in life reason contrary to the will of God. You see, he felt that what made the king of Syria so powerful was because the idol god that the king of Syria worshipped helped the king of Syria. So he's reasoning, I will sacrifice to their idol god so that the idol god that the Syrian worship, in the same way the idol god helped the king of Syria to be powerful, he will help me to be powerful. We sometimes reason so incorrectly that a lot of time there is no recovery from the way we think. We have to be careful. We have to learn to depend on the word of God. What verse are you, Dave?
23.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him.
They were the ruin of him. The more he turned to the wrong thing for help, is the more the Almighty God saw that he was on a slippery slope. And part of this started when he became so impressed by the idolatrous altar of the Syria. Now, brothers and sisters, if God could be so angry about the shadow, the shadow. But Brother Mitchell, we haven't read about any shadow here. Yes. The altar of the tabernacle was shadow. The altar of the tabernacle that God told Moses to see that you make it according to the pattern, that altar points to the Christian prayer. Whenever you read the Old Testament about the altar. But Brother Mitchell, I thought the altar is where the animal was burned. Yes. And it signifies as the smoke from the burning go up, it signifies the prayer of God's people. Now, my point is, if God could have responded so angrily with the shadow, then will God not be more angry with the substance? What is the substance? What you and I are now doing in the Lord's church is the substance. What we see under the Old Testament system, the Bible tells us that those were shadow. What we practice now is the substance. We must take learning. God will be much angrier by us not showing the respect and the reverence for the pattern he set in the New Testament. And one little final point. In the New Testament, the gospel of Christ, the pattern-minded God speaks loud and clear about the New Testament pattern. Let me just, as I seek to wrap up in a few minutes, throw out a few passages here that you might have read them many times and don't realize that what is said in these passages are said because there is a pattern. Let us run to a few of these passages quick. Acts of the Apostle 13:39. Acts 19:1-5. Romans 10:1-15. I'm just dropping this passage by so that you will have them and remember that these passages are about the pattern-minded God. Acts chapter 13 and verse 39.
And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses.
Brother Mitchell, in what way that is that about the pattern-minded God? Look here. Here the Apostle Paul preaching and told his Jewish audience that by Jesus Christ all that believe will be justified. But notice what else he said in that verse.
From which he could not be justified by the law of Moses.
You cannot. You cannot be justified by
the law of Moses.
The law. You know why, brothers and sisters? Because God has a pattern in the gospel by which men and women are going to be justified. And Paul is telling them it's not by the law. In other words, it's because God has a specific way to save man, men and women, why Paul could be telling his Jewish audience what you are adhering to, the law. You cannot stand right in God's sight by that. But notice he gave them the alternative. You will stand right in God's sight by Christ. And that means by Jesus Christ and the gospel. This verse 13, or rather verse 39 of Acts 13, is all about the fact that God has a pattern, a plan of salvation, and it does not include the law. Look at Acts 19, verse 1 following, quick.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth,
mm-hmm.
Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to
Ephesus.
Ephesus, and finding
certain disciples, notice what he found. Disciples, they were learners or followers.
He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?
Mm-hmm.
And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be an Holy Ghost.
We haven't even heard about the Holy Ghost. Immediately, Paul recognized that something was wrong with their conversion. But watch here.
And he said unto them,
he recognized that likely it's the teaching they got before they were baptized. He said, unto what then were you baptized?
And he said unto one of them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism.
Which indicates to us that they were in fact baptized.
Then said Paul,
mm-hmm.
John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ mm-hmm. Jesus. Then, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Wait. Brother Mitchell, you are showing us things about pattern Jesus Christ left in the gospel for us, yes. You see what I see in this? The fact is, they were in fact baptized somewhere according to verse 3 or 4. That is to John's baptism. By the time Paul teach them properly, we are told that after they got Paul's teaching, they were baptized, that is, baptized again. the need for that second or that proper baptism grew out of the fact that their first baptism was not according to God's pattern. Very important that we get that. That God has a pattern. But Brother Mitchell, baptism is baptism. You take the person to the water, you bury them in the water. Even though that might have been done and from all indication was done when they were baptized unto John's baptism, it did not follow the pattern that Jesus Christ laid down in the gospel for Christian baptism. This is why they had to be baptized over. When we are told in the book of Romans, Paul, wishing that all Israel should be saved, and telling us, of course, you know, that my heart's desire is for Israel that they might be saved, for I bear them record, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Watch here.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them
record that they have a zeal of God,
but not according to knowledge.
Watch here now.
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness.
Wait, stop there. That's God's pattern. God has a way of making man righteous. The way Israel wanted to be righteous was contrary to God's way. This is plainly talking about God's pattern. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Put that another way, Brother Mitchell. That is, they being ignorant of the gospel, of God's demand, of God's pattern, of God's plan of salvation, and going about to establish their own righteousness. What? They wanted to be righteous by the law. That was impossible. He said they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. That is, they have not submitted themselves to God's pattern. As we close, remember what I've said. The first occurrence of any teaching or practice in the Bible, Old or New Testament, is one of your best guides in respect to the meaning of that practice. Wherever a teaching, a practice, is first taught in the Bible, it lays the foundation for the understanding of that subject. The first conversion that took place under Christianity is found in the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2. We're not going to go there, most of us. I'm just reminding you. From that, you learn that every man and every woman must hear the gospel, must believe it, must repent, must confess, and must be baptized. Every person, without exception. If there is another way for men and women to become Christian, the Bible doesn't know about it. The scripture doesn't know about it, without exception. When you go to Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2, it lays down as the first instance of men and women becoming Christian under the New Testament, under the New Covenant. Always remember that from that Acts 2, the Almighty God was laying down the pattern by which men and women became Christian, or become Christian. Don't ever forget that. Any practice in the Bible, to understand it better, look at the first instance when it was given and our practice, and that helps you to understand it more. God has a pattern. We must make sure that we follow God's pattern. Even the passage of Hebrews chapter 2 that so many of us are well acquainted with, that we are to give the more to the things which we have heard. The things which we have heard is referring to God's pattern. The things that were taught to the Hebrew Christian. And so important it is, he said, lest at any time we let them slip. That was in reference to God's pattern. Don't forget it. Thank you.